Hello, guys. Welcome back to Hear Our Voices. It's your host, Kay Did. Come back to you one more time. So I just want to tell you about a little bit about, right now we are in the season four of Hear Our Voices, and we have a lot of different things coming out for you. Right now, we're going to be having a new topic called Hot Topic. By the time you see this, I'll be out already. But if you haven't seen that part yet or heard that part yet, we definitely want you to know we have Hot Topics coming up. Follow us on all our social media platforms. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for watching. And hope to sit back and relax and enjoy yourself, the podcast. And hopefully you learn something from this podcast. We don't want to just tell people stories just to tell people stories. We want you to understand how it is to be in shelter, to be homeless, as the new word they use, unhoused. But we want you to understand the journey that the people we have on the podcast. And we also want to give out resources. And hopefully if it gets to the right ear, it can make some changes for the homeless community in general in the US. So yes. So my guest today, I could say subscriber of her channel on YouTube. Her name is Rudy, and she'll be, telling us a little bit about her life and her life journey, so thus far in this world. So I want to hear a little bit about your journey right now. What are you up to right now, Rudy?
Okay, so right now, I had just recently lost my job. So I am a small business owner. I make cakes. So I have my own business. It's called Rudy's Cakery. So I've just been working on that in the meantime until I find another full-time job. My goal is to just have my own business at the end of the day. I've been an entrepreneur for a while, so but it's so up and down, and with the marketing and stuff like that, I feel like I'm not as good, with trying to get people to like purchase my stuff. But other than that, I just been being a mom, paying bills.
As we all do,
Like
we can't relate from
yeah,
that.
just trying to survive. Like it's been tough. So just trying to survive. That's all.
I understand. So, guys, you can tell them what state you live in, and also we'll have her information down below if you do want to support her business. Probably be easier to do a place in her area if you're listening, other than like shipping it out. I would assume for cakes because it's kind of hard. They might, things might happen. Unless you're doing a black cake, then it's kind of put in a box, a little stuff in it.
Yeah, so I live in Baltimore, Maryland right now. And I don't ship out full cakes, but I do make cupcakes in a jar, and I ship those out. I ship out cookies. So
Ooh.
people have been purchasing that stuff as long as I keep, like promoting myself or talking to people and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm currently in Baltimore, Maryland. So yeah.
As from what I've seen, she's a hustler. I could definitely tell you that's what she brings to YouTube. I've been watching her with her kids and stuff like that, and her journeys of ups and downs and things like that. So I just want to get back into your story. When it was initially that you became homeless at what age? How did it happen? What did you do?
Okay, so I was a teenager at the time. I was 16. Yeah, 16 years old. So how it initially happened was I was living with my mom for like a short period of time. It's like a whole story to that too, but I was living with her for a short period of time, and then she was unable to pay the bills. I was trying to help her out, even though I was a teen. I had a job, I had like a little job. But I was trying to help her out and stuff. It just was too much for her. So we all became homeless, like myself, her, my siblings. And at first I ended up staying with a boyfriend at the time, but
At
then
16? Wow.
my mom, I was dating a boy, in high school. It was, a little, not nothing serious, but I was dating a boy. And my mom kind of, when she, like, once we became homeless and everything, she kind of pushed me onto his family. Like, she asked his mom, like, could I stay there for a little bit? It was supposed to be for like a short period of time, but No. I ended up staying there for a while, but that didn't work out. We were young. Like, his mom let me stay, but we were kids, you know? So it
Right.
was like, it was kind of difficult, you know?
Right.
So I ended up leaving. And when I left, that was here in Baltimore. I'm not originally from Baltimore. I'm from Prince George's County.
Okay.
So when I left his house, I went back to Prince George's County. And when I went back to Prince George's County, I tried to stay with my sister. I couldn't stay. I just couldn't stay with her long. And then after that, that's when I became homeless. Well, I got pregnant. I'm skipping something. I got pregnant with my oldest son.
Right.
And then after that's when I became homeless. Like, once I had him, I didn't have help. I didn't have help from his father. So I was on the, like, I was homeless, like outside, like on the street for like a week. And then I found, sorry, I'm nervous. I'm
Oh,
getting nervous
get
because
nervous.
I know
You
me,
tell your
like, I don't
truth.
want to cry. I don't want to cry, but you know, just talking about like the past kind of, it's tough.
Right.
Yeah, so for a week with my son, so I had an infant, you know, just trying to figure it out, just on the street, sleeping on the street, asking people for money, like, you know, just like pan, you call panhandling, or just
Yeah.
outside, you know how you see people out. Yeah. So, well, I did that, and then I found a shelter. It was for women and children. And then I had to go through like a whole like intake, and they took me, and I was there for like a little under a year, not a full year, but I was there for like a little under a year. That just being in a shelter was kind of, that was tough too. Yeah, it was tough, but I was happy at the same time because I wasn't on the street. You know,
Right.
I knew I didn't have no support or help from nowhere else. Like, once we became homeless, my mom kind of just, like, we all, me and my siblings were just all in different places. Like, she just kind of, I don't know what she was doing actually, but yeah,
Was your
she
mom a
kind
young
of just,
mom?
well, around this time, excuse me, my kids, I don't know if you can hear it,
No, I
my
can't.
son, yeah, but around this time, she was in her, I think, 30s, maybe, or 40, maybe she was like in her early 40s. She had me when she was 22, so she was young, but not, I mean, not as young as I was. Like, I had
Right.
my first child when I was 19. But my mom suffers from mental, she has a mental illness.
Okay.
Yeah, so that played a huge part in like my childhood, how she was able to like try to take care of us, all of that. But yeah.
I just want to say, whoever's listening to this podcast, is that people with mental illness, if you get the proper help or identify them, they could be able to live wonderful lives, but they don't have the proper tools behind them to help them. They're not going to be able to survive. So I think we need to also work with that and be able to give out more solutions and have more mental health services that, especially moms, moms can be overwhelmed. She said, not only her, it's her siblings with her. So that means that she needed a lot of, help to help around out the house or just probably medication. I'm not sure what the whole thing was, but it sounded like if
Yeah.
she would have got proper help, because she's going for a while, but after a while things can be overloading. I personally don't have like something what's like deterring me other than like, depression and anxiety, but it's, we also get overwhelmed as humans in general. We get overwhelmed with just some things. It's like every day you do one thing, your child might drop this thing. It's like today is like almost that one thing breaks the back, even though it's a small thing. It's just, it could be a lot. And having multiple kids, I only have one child. But technically, I have two kids. I'm a foster mom and I have my bio daughter, and it can be overwhelming. So I could definitely understand where she's coming from. And you said you was helping her. That means probably money. That means money wasn't coming in if you as a young child had to help her. So I could see how that can happen. So I don't want people to come away like, oh my gosh, she had this and take care. No, you got to think about having a lot of
Yeah.
kids having a mental illness. That's a problem. And we, us as a society, need to come together to be able to help people who need the help. the vulnerable people in general. So just put that in mind. What do you can you remember how you felt when you were 16 and had to go to like be living with somebody else instead of your mom? Did you feel a way, or you was like maybe in some people's in lies would be like, I'm with my boyfriend, I'm happy, I'm, you know, but how did you feel in that moment? That's what I would think. I'm like, oh, my boo, you know, you do these things.
No, I could just remember just feeling like abandoned, or like I really didn't understand at the time like what was going. Like I kind of knew what was going on with my mom because prior to that I did live with my grandmother. My grandmother took care of me a good portion of like my childhood because my mom couldn't. So I just it's like some stuff I understood, but some stuff I just didn't understand, you know. And
You're a kid, so you can't understand everything either, so.
yeah, I just didn't I didn't understand. So me having to go, even though that was my boyfriend, they were strangers to me. Like I knew him because we went to school together and stuff, but I didn't know his mom, his family, you know, and all of that. So it was a lot. Like I think I always have had like trust issues when it come to like, you know, like other people and stuff. So me having to move so quickly, because I didn't even know that, like my mom never discussed that, you know, bills were behind. Like I didn't know none of that. So when it just happened, it was like it happened quickly. You know, everything happened quickly. Oh, you're gonna have to go stay with, can you see if you can stay with, you know, your boyfriend's family, whatever. They had his mom and my mom had a conversation. She said it was okay, whatever. And then it's like I was just there, you know, and it was hard because I didn't know them. I didn't trust them really. Like I did feel abandoned. I felt I don't know, I felt like my mother just wasn't there, you know. So it was tough. I remember crying a lot, you know. Just not wanting to be there, just calling her, trying to figure out, you know, where she is, like when are we all gonna be back in our own place, you know, that type of, yeah. And then I still had to finish high school. You know, I'm going through hormones. Like it
It's a
was a
lot.
lot.
Yeah. I think
Yeah, it was a lot.
as a mom, granted she had a lot of things going on, but we have to also think about how this is gonna affect our children, how it's gonna, like everything what you happen when you're younger affects you as an adult. And
Yes.
unless you get help like therapy, counseling and stuff like that, it's gonna like that's not gonna ruin your life long you get help. But even if you don't get help, you know, it's, you can still pass by. But who wants to pass by in life? We wanna have the best life that we can, because we only have one life to live, right? So I think we need to be very mindful of what happened to our kids and how it is. And people don't get evicted just like that. So she's going through tremendous pressure just trying to keep it together, and she's still, you know, things happen. So I'm happy you didn't have to live, like you lived on the street after, but at first you was kind of in somebody's home. And then you know, the next part happened. You said you had a baby after that. So tell me, because I never, well, I understand mothers how they could kind of panhandle. I never understand how single people could do it as much, just because I don't know. But I guess everybody has their reasons for doing certain things. I used to sell candy, so I used to be a person on the street hustling for the candy, and people would be, because I had my daughter with me, give me a couple of dollars for the candy, which I understand that. But how did you, if you would have, I don't know how you, if you remember how you felt doing that. How did you end up? How do you survive on the street too? Like, I never understood that either. I tried to do it for like a one day on a train in New York City, and I had to go back home. So I want to know how did you end up getting over that home to even get to that part until you found a shelter?
It played a huge part on my mental health. I would say that. It was not easy at all. And it's just like, I don't know, you, it's just like if you don't have no other choice, what are you gonna do? That's really just what it was. It was like I would say the only good thing for that week when I was just sleeping outside, I would go to like the park. You know, like go to the park and just lay in the grass, You know, that's like I'm a nature girl to this day because of that. And it was warm outside too.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, like I had my son in August, so like the the late summer.
My
So
daughter.
like September, October, around that time, it was warm outside. So that was a good thing. It wasn't, I mean, it got cold at night, but not freezing. I just made sure my son was, wrapped up. He was warm. It was a lot that was going on. I actually like I would walk around basically and just ask for money, like just let people know, like, look, I'm homeless. I didn't want to do that at first. It was embarrassing. But you don't have if I have to eat, like I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just like you have to ask. People would give me money, but how I ended up even getting into the shelter was I ran into it was a lady. I was asking her, for money or help or whatever. And she told me about the place that I ended up going to. So she was like, you don't have to be on the street. Like you don't have to be on the street. Like you don't have nowhere you can go. I'm like, no. Like I never had my dad in my life. I was like, I don't know where my mom is. And it was also like I had my sister, like she had her own, my older sister, she had like her own thing going on. My younger siblings, they were, I don't remember where they were, honestly, at that time. But anyway, yeah, I don't remember exactly where they were with my mom, but I don't know where they were. But yeah, I was dealing with some stuff with my son's father that was just bad, like he wasn't helping or anything. So it's just like I've always had the hustle mentality too, but it was just like in that moment, that week, I was just out there like just asking people for money. Like I have to eat today. I'm like, I have my son, I need to eat, whatever. But it was definitely embarrassing. Like I felt, I don't know, I just felt a lot of things. I felt dirty. Like I wasn't, I didn't like get clean and stuff. So I was dirty. I had like a bag, I had like a bag. I did have like stuff for my son, like milk and diapers and stuff like that. But yeah, it was tough.
I was thinking, like, I was gonna ask you, how did you feed your son? But if you had milk and diapers, makes sense. Because in my mind, he's a baby, can still breastfeed. So I'm like, at least he got food that way. But if you had milk and stuff like that, it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, I think because living in New York, if you don't know, guys, I live in New York City, and people are always panhandling here, whether they are homeless or not. If you read scams in New York City from homeless people, so it's like, I think the reason why I asked that question in general, I don't offend nobody, of course, but is that how do you get to the point of that? But I think I understand for mothers, not I think, I know for a fact, if I don't have nothing, I might got it. I've done it. For my pride aside, I have to ask for something because even for my care about myself. My daughter, my life. People say they wouldn't get, no, I'm giving my whole life for my baby. So I can understand how you can definitely do that. I can even understand how a person who's single could do that just because they want to eat. They want clothes. Especially in New York City, we get cold. Right now it's snowing. So I can understand how a person can really get to that point. Sometimes, like if you remember the story from the last podcast, guys, with Cynthia, she went through a whole mental health crisis and asking to eat out of garbage cans. Things happen why people have to get to this point. So it makes sense. So just have a compassion heart, like a compassionate heart for people. And you just never know what their story actually is. And people are not what they look like. So just very, very cautious. Depending where you live too, because I feel like New York City, some people they try it a lot. So just be try to use
Yeah,
your,
some people be
discrimination.
lying.
That's the
Yeah,
thing.
some people lie. Some people, I see it all the time, like here in Baltimore too. Like, you just never know, I think if you talk to somebody, like around that time in my case, just me, these people I was asking, money from, they would like talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened? Like, why are you on it? You have a baby. Like, what's going on? And I was even offered, like, I remember one time just from it was from a man though, like offering, oh, you can come stay with me. And I was like, no. Yeah. So it would be stuff like that. It wasn't, you know, I just felt like I didn't have no other choice. But people was trying to offer, but it's like, I don't trust you
You can't,
to just
right?
go into your home, even though, you know, I don't know, at that time, I just rather sleep outside. Like,
I don't
I'd
blame
rather
you.
do that.
Anything could happen. You could, as you know, right now, by the time you listen to this guy, it's not gonna, guys, right now it's in January. By the time we get this, probably like March, probably April. Right now
Oh.
it's Trafficking Awareness Month in January. So a lot
Yeah.
of Black women especially are getting trafficked. And she got a kid, so that's two victims right there. Could happen, right? So you have to be
Yeah.
very, very cautious of what you're doing and who you're going with. People say we know these things, but when you're in a situation, you're like in dire restraints, you tend to do things you don't do rationally. And I'm happy that she didn't go with these people because you just never know. She might not be here today with her kids. So I'm happy
Yeah.
you had the common sense that God gave you to
Yeah.
say, to be honest,
Yeah,
because you hear so
always.
many stories, you know? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, always. Like I've had other situations just happen to me, period, where I think that's where the trust issues come from. So it don't, even to this day, like it doesn't matter what I'm going through. Like if I don't trust you, I don't care that you offering
Right.
help. I'd rather just go get it from somewhere else, or
Right.
I'd rather just figure it out on my own. Because you can't, it's like people prey, I feel like people prey on people who are at their lowest.
That's
You
true.
know what I mean? So now everybody genuine out here is just, you just never know. So
Some people, that's what they do. They look for the vulnerability in you, and they focus on that thing. And because you just want something so bad, you're just like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And when it by the end of
right.
it, this happened, it's like, oh my gosh, I regret doing this. So just be very cautious when you do things. That's just like not only in homelessness or this thing in general. When people see you are not doing your greatest, your mental health is off, different things like that. It definitely prey on you, and that's why we have a lot of victims in life, to be honest, because of these things. But yes. So tell me a little bit after the person told you about the shelter and then you finally went in, did you go right away? Were you happy? Were you like, I guess this is better than being in the streets, so I'm gonna go here. How was it inside shelter for you?
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was just better for me to do. I knew it wasn't me. Like, if, like you said, if it was just me by myself, I don't know. I probably still would have went, but I don't know if I would have went there.
Right.
But because I had my child, it's like I have to do what's best for him. I can't be outside. Like, I just cannot be outside. I knew I wasn't supposed to be out there, but it was just like, I was just scared, you know, scared,
Right.
lonely, young, you know, the constant, like I'm calling, trying to get help from like my family, my son's dad, nobody, you know, they just can't help me, whatever, you know. So
Right.
at that moment, I was just like, yeah, I have to go, you know. Let's just see. Like, I have to go. If this is a place for other women, are there, other kids are there, it has
Right.
to be safe, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that was my thought process. Somebody just gave me some valuable information, and the lady was nice. You know, she was trustworthy. She seemed that way. So I was just like, okay. She gave me the information, and I went right away. They checked me in right away. I was, you know, cool. I was warm. I had food, you know. So I was cool at, you know, when I got in there. Yeah.
This is definitely different than New York City. They do have like private places that who own shelters, but we have the DHS system. I feel like that's, yeah, Department of Homeless Services. Yes, that's correct. And in New
Yeah.
York City, we go through PATH, and it's like an intake center. So it's like a big building. You go there. They have NOVA, which is for DV, domestic violence, if you don't know, whoever's listening. And it's a whole thing. So the shelter is not there. They have many shelters around the five boroughs. I feel like mostly the four boroughs. I don't know who really goes to Staten Island. Maybe they probably have a few on Staten Island, but I know Staten Island don't really want to have any of that on their island, but it is what it is. We see what's going on right now with the migrants, but it's beside the point, guys. And they usually have buses. They have buses or a little bit like the vans, or they have give you MetroCards. If you don't know MetroCards, it's going to be Omni for New York City. And You have to go through metal detectors before you even get in the building. You can't bring food. They give you nasty food. They give you baby food also.
Wow.
But it's a different process in New York City. It's much different. And
Yeah.
the private people who have, who's not with the actual city system, they give you a whole rigmarole kind of thing. You have to go, it's like a mini interview before you even get a shelter. And the shelter's not even that big. So it's like, just give me a place and just
Yeah.
give me somewhere to go. But because they are smaller, they can be more nitpicky with who they have. And so, yeah. So, and like when you went inside, you said it was an easy process. It sounded like an easy process to me. It sounded like a one, two, three, boom. Did you have to leave every day? I know some shelter systems you have to leave in the morning and come back in the afternoon. In our shelters in New York City, for families at least, you can stay there all day if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But how is it in over there?
So this place, it was a shelter, but like I said, it was just for women and children, and it was like a private owned shelter. I don't know if that's the, it's like a transitional house.
Gotcha.
So it's for women and children, but also women who have mental illness, women who were on drugs and all that type of stuff. They allowed you to stay all day.
That's a lot in one
But
place.
yeah, but like, so when I first went in, it was more so of like they just let me in because I told them like I've been on the street, you know, I've been on the street for a week, like, you know, I haven't really like I've been eating little stuff from the
Right.
little bit of money that I was getting, but it's like I haven't really been eating, I haven't showered, none of that. So they let me in, but
Right.
then like they let me get settled. They put me in a room. I was in there with like two other people.
Oh, you had to share too. Wow.
Yeah, the rooms, yeah. The rooms you had to share. Like it was no, and that's it was huge rooms though. So it was me and then it was like another lady and then another lady on the other side. They kind of let me have my own side because I had, you know, my son
Right.
and stuff like that. So I had, you know, like I had a bed, I had space, I had, you know, dressers and stuff, a closet, you know, and all of that. But yeah, we had to, at first it was like that. Like I was there for a while. So they, you know, moving people out the room. It was at one point where I was in there by myself, you know, people come and go type of
Right.
thing. But when I got in, I was in for like maybe like 2 days, and then I had to go through a intake process. So basically just like, you know, I had to fill out paperwork. They wanted to know if I was on like food stamps, you know, was I getting any help from like the government? And I wasn't at the time because I didn't know nothing about like I didn't know nothing about this stuff. Like nobody taught me this stuff, you know. So they did help me, you know, apply for like food stamps and try to get like cash assistance and stuff like that to help me out. So it was like a little process, but they let me in right away. I think just because of my situation, you know, like I was young with this baby. They just like, nah, you know. But I didn't have to, what we did have was a curfew.
I hate that part, yeah.
Yeah, we had a curfew, and if you're not back, and that's the part that sucked. Like it started to become like difficult being there too, because if you're not back at a certain time, they lock you out. And there were times where I couldn't get back at a certain time. You know, I tried to find work and things like that, you know, trying to get it together, trying to find work, you know, finding somebody to watch my kid. And I wouldn't like because of the bus, I didn't have a car or nothing. I had my license, none of that. So trying to catch the bus or the train or whatever, trying to get back home, I mean, back to the place, I would be locked out. Like they were literally, they didn't care. Like they would lock you out and you just out there, you know. So, and you can't come back in until the morning. So in those situations, like there were times where I was locked out. So I still was like, you know, not homeless, but just like didn't have nowhere to go for real.
So we have come to the end of Rudy's story. I thank her again for coming on. I just hope that you can learn something from these stories that we tell. She's not from New York City. And you can see no matter what system we have in the US, our system is definitely broken.
whether it's owned by the city or owned by a church. We want the best for our families. We want the best for people in general who are experiencing a hard time and a point in their life. Homelessness is not our identity, but it's just a small part of what we had to go through as people. I hope that you can take something from our stories and help us in the fight of changing homelessness for all. No matter if they're veteran, single, mental, disability, a person who is with family, whether children or adults, we all need help in some way. A lot of us in this country are living paycheck to paycheck, and things are getting harder and harder. Help us make a change. Help us make a difference by sharing the podcast, also by making a difference in your personal community. We all need to step in to help each and every person, because we all are in this together at the end of the day. So come back next week and listen to part two of Rudy's story. If you want to follow us on social media, you can. We'll be on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And we have the hot topics coming up. If you want to be a part of that or know a topic that you want us to check out, you can write it on our Twitter page or our threads. We have threads now, so I forgot about that. And you could check us out on there. And you could definitely leave comments there or DM us too. If you don't want to be private, you can. Anyway, guys, bye. Talk to you next time.